Good morning, and Merry Christmas. There's always room for more points at us. I mean, these are pretty and all, but if you haven't brought one yet, consider bringing more. My goal every year is to have enough poinsettias up here that I have to trip on my way up because I can't find a path through. So please, please try your best to make me trip before Christmas. Let's fill up the space. We've been doing this for several years now, four, five, I think. And every year we bring these, not just because they're fun to look at and because you can't keep them at home with your pets because they're toxic. We bring these here because it's a reminder how much joy we carry, how much hope we have in this season. In a time in which it's getting darker and seasonal depression hits some of you, these bright colors are a reminder of how much we care for one another and how we carry each other through dark times. Speaking of dark times, I have been cursed in several different ways in my life. One of my curses, just so you know, is that before I'm about to go to a highly forested area, there's almost always a fire of some kind. So by the time that I get there, there's not much of a forested area left. This has happened multiple times in my life. I've been to Yellowstone twice. Both times were after wildfires. Whenever I've tried to escape the heat in Arizona and go up into the mountains, every single time there was a wildfire before I got there. If you walk through a forest after a storm or a wildfire, you notice something striking. There's just, as you would expect, stumps and shards of trees everywhere you look. Places where strong trunks once reached into the sky, now reduced to flat circles of wood with rings exposed, life seemingly just kind of cut short. A stump is a reminder of what used to be, what once grew tall, what once gave shade, what once housed birds and held the soil together, and now it sits silent, weathered, just a monument of something that was great once, and it's just over. There are seasons in our own lives that feel like that, seasons where what was once stable suddenly gives way. Seasons where hopes are cut down, plans fall over, relationships are wounded, where trust is broken. Moments where we look at the landscape of our lives and we see not flourishing trees, just a bunch of stumps all around. Even in this holiday season, a season that should feel bright and warm, some of us in this room are quietly carrying that sense that something has been reduced, something has ended, something has been cut to the ground, something that used to be just isn't there anymore. And yet God speaks directly and precisely into that kind of a landscape, asking us to not pretend that everything is growing and fine, inviting us to look honestly at what looks finished, and dared to imagine something new on the way. I think this is why it's important for Christians to remember a story like the birth of Christ at least once a year, at the very least once a year, because to remember that Christ really did come when he promised he would is to also remember that he'll come back just like he promised he would. And even though it looks desolate, something new is always around the corner. Because a stump is not always the end of the story. If you have walked through a forest after a wildfire, if you go back 6 months later, you'll see the stumps, yes, but every one of those stumps will be surrounded by new trees that are about a foot tall growing around it. Same tree, new trunks. Because a stump isn't always the end of the story. Sometimes a stump is the place where something new begins. Isaiah begins his prophecy from a national stump. The royal line that began with Jesse, David's father, the root of all of Israel's kings, has been cut down. The monarchy has been diminished, powerless, humiliated. If you're looking for a flourishing kingdom during the time of Isaiah, all you see is a stump. No branches, no leaves, no fruit, just a memory to a fallen kingdom. But Isaiah, standing before what looks like the end, speaks a word of hope, that God will bring new life from this place of apparent deadness. God will cause something small, something tender, something unexpected to rise. Not yet a towering tree, not a mighty trunk, just a small seedling shoot, a fragile stem of green pushing out of the broken stump, a sign that God has not abandoned the promise, a sign that the future is not limited by the past or the present, a sign that in God's story, the places that look most hopeless often become the soil of new creation. The word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge for the poor, and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid. The calf, the lion, will feed together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And on that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling will be glorious. Isaiah's vision shines with hope, but it grows out of a painful truth. That stump is very real, and there is no green on it anywhere. No new growth, just memory. Judgment has fallen. Sin had consequences. Pride toppled the house of David. Israel's story has wounds, fractures that cannot be denied or ignored. That stump stands as a sign that God had taken seriously the corruption, the idolatry, the injustice that had hollowed out the tree of Israel from the inside. We know this dynamic in our own lives. There are stump places in us. Places we'd rather not see. Habits that choke off joy, patterns of anger or fear, temptations that we've allowed to take root, disappointments that we've buried, dreams that we let go of, moments where we resisted God's call. And there are stump places in our world. Systems that deform lives, communities fractured by distrust, nations ready to push the button. These are not abstract problems. We're walking through a forest full of stumps. And these stumps shape us. They take a toll on us. John the Baptist also walked around in a forest full of stumps. He knew this all too well. And he finished the sermon that Isaiah started. Isaiah and John were both odd ducks, to say the least. Neither one of them were, regrettably, they were known for their lack of fashion sense. They both said things that nobody wanted to hear. They both were unpopular. They both tried to hide from people who wanted them gone. And John and Isaiah shared so much in common also in what they say to the people. This man clothed in camel's hair, who stands by a river with fire in his voice, John the Baptist has no gentle phrases. You don't go to John to feel better about yourself. You don't go to listen to John because you're depressed and he'll sing a good song that makes you feel uplifted and lighthearted. You go to John whenever you're feeling down and deserve to feel more down. He has no soft metaphors. He speaks with urgency because he believes that God is doing something new. And he knows that new creation requires clearing the ground. John the Baptist is that one person you have in the house around the holidays who is trying to keep everybody on task to clean the house before the company arrives, even though everybody else just wants the company to arrive and enjoy it. John the Baptist is the dad who keeps nagging everybody about their trash on Christmas morning to put it in the trash bag so they doesn't have to pick it up later. He's the guy who's trying to make everybody else stay on task. Nobody enjoys John the Baptist, but Christmas without a guy who's holding the trash bag is chaos, and the house that never gets cleaned can't really host anyone. You need John the Baptist, you just don't like it. His words cut deep because they have to. He calls for repentance, not as a threat, just preparation. The word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, of all people. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, right now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff, he'll burn it with unquenchable fire." Merry Christmas. This image that John gives you, it echoes something from Isaiah's stump, doesn't it? John tells the story second, but he seems to almost tell the first part of the story that got missed the first time. This is, I guess John in some way has gone back and told the prequel story before the original trilogy. He's got a sharper edge to it. He says the axe is lying at the root of the tree. And John's story of this stump, the tree is still there, but not for long. He's not swinging wildly. He's not hacking indiscriminately. That axe is just laid there, intentional, surgical, threateningly, ready to remove anything that doesn't bear good fruit. If any of you have ever tried to nurture and have a fruit tree in your yard, there's been a moment in which you have wanted to put an axe right there at the root of that tree and just threaten it just a little bit so that it knows you're not going to go one more season without something to prove. John announces that God does not ignore the decay of creation, the rot, the dead wood. And God will remove anything that prevents life. That's deeply unsettling. Because it means that God takes us seriously. The things we do, our actions, our habits, our loves, our refusals. It means that God's new growth does not happen without cutting away of some old things that need to go. It means that repentance is not an optional thing when the king draws near. We feel this tension. Isaiah gives us a tender shoot of hope. Matthew gives us an axe at the root. The shoot whispers restoration, and the axe warns of judgment. The shoot promises new life, and the axe insists that the old things must die. Truth be told, John tells you, you need a wildfire every so often to clear the underbrush. For the forest to thrive, you need a good fire. And right here, in that space between stump and shoot, hope and fire, promise and repentance, is where God asks us to wait honestly. It's a place where the bottom falls out of our illusions. It's where we admit that something in us needs to be cleared away if God's new life is going to flourish. These two images, tender shoot, sharp axe, they're not contradictions. They belong in the same story, the same hope, the same God, because new growth requires space, room for light to get all the way down to the floor. It requires renewal, pruning. The transformation that Isaiah promises emerges not in spite of judgment, but through God's faithful work of removing the things that just can't bear fruit. The stump is not abandoned. It's been cultivated. God is doing something to cultivate this stump that's been pruned. John the Baptist, fierce as he seems, is not proclaiming doom. He is announcing grace. You might have to look for some subtext and read between some lines, but it's there. Repentance is not a punishment. Repentance is preparation. Repentance is the holy clearing that allows something new to arise. John is doing the same work that Isaiah is doing, helping God's people make room for the one who is coming. And look at how Isaiah describes that one. The Spirit rests on him. He has wisdom, he has understanding, counsel, he's strong, he's knowledgeable. He even has fear of the Lord. He judges not by appearances, but with righteousness. He brings justice to the poor. He transforms hostility and violence into harmony and peace. He is the new creation, the way it was always supposed to be, in person. John describes him too, this one who is coming, the one who is mightier than himself, the one who baptizes not with water but with Holy Spirit and fire, the one whose very arrival reshapes people. These are not two different messiahs. They're the same Christ. Isaiah shows us his tender kingship. John reveals his purifying presence. Isaiah shows the growth out of the stump. John shows the clearing. Isaiah reveals the promise. John reveals the preparation. God comes differently than we expect. Gentle like a shoot, fierce like an axe, merciful like new growth, honest like a cleansing fire. But all of it is grace. All of it is for life. All of it is the work of a God who refuses to leave the world as a barren stump just lying there rotting in the forest, who refuses to leave us as we are. If God brings both the shoot and the axe, then we are challenged to welcome both. And that means imagining repentance not as a harsh demand, but as some kind of hopeful practice. Repentance is clearing the soil so the shoot can take root. Perhaps repentance looks like naming the underbrush that has grown up in your heart. Old grudges, deep-seated anger, habits of self-protection, small lies we tell ourselves. Clearing that away is not about shame, it's about freedom. Perhaps repentance looks like removing rot, the patterns that eat away at trust, the selfish desires that we nourish without thinking, the fears that keep us from loving our neighbors, or better yet, our enemies. John is not interested in condemnation. He's interested in a change. Perhaps repentance looks like making straight paths, just as John says, creating space in your day for prayer, opening ourselves to Scripture, moving toward reconciliation where relationships have thinned, practicing generosity in a season that tempts us toward excess. And none of that is just self-improvement. None of it is spiritual heroism. This is participating in what God's already doing. The Spirit is growing something in you, a wisdom, a courage, a faithfulness, a compassion. And those wonderful things need space to grow. Repentance is just removing the stuff that gets in the way. That's it. Getting rid of the clutter. It's decluttering. In stump seasons of life, it's easy to believe that nothing new could ever grow there again. But Isaiah tells us different. You can't see it, but below the surface, that tree is still thriving. The shoot is already rising. Christ is near. The Spirit is at work in places that you thought were finished. So we learn to wait actively, to make room, to clear ground, to stay attentive to the subtle signs of new life. We trust that God is not done with us or with this world. We trust that new creation is already pressing up through the cracks. And we come now to the table where stump and shoot, axe and Spirit, judgment and mercy, they all meet in one person, Christ. Here, Jesus feeds us with life that rises from what seems dead. Here, he cleanses us with grace that burns away the things that just cannot remain. Here, he nourishes the new growth emerging in us, growth that we could never generate on our own, only receive. It's here that Christ becomes our peace, our justice, our hope. This meal is not a reward for those who have already repented. It's nourishment for those who are learning to repent. It's strength for those who are learning to declutter. It's comfort for those who fear the axe. It's wonder for what God sees in us. It's the promise that every stump can become a place where Christ grows something beautiful. And we come with open hands, with repentant hearts, with expectant hope, because the kingdom of God draws near. The Spirit is at work. The shoot is rising. Come to the table of the Lord. Let's stand and sing.